This morning, we're looking again at John's letters to the church. We're continuing. We're looking into John and just the things that John said. A lot of what we're doing is really going through and looking at, because John used different words or certain words that he used. And one of the words that we're talking about here, we were dealing with the areas of fellowship. And dealing with fellowship, we talked about light, walking in light. That's what we were talking about last week. We're going to do some more talking about over the areas of life to do some explaining about some things said in the Word. And we're using, because John used, and really the Bible does use terminology, and one of the things that we do have a problem today, that many people don't know, even Christians, don't know what the terminology really means in the Bible. We have certain words used, and you know, it's just like if you go over to creation, and God created the earth, and first he said, let there be light. Well, people think about, you know, natural light. Well, he couldn't have been talking about natural light, because if natural light was he talking about, What was lighting the earth? That why he said this? He made the sun later on to for the day, and the moon to rule over the night. I mean, why would he done that if just light was in the beginning, was talking about light? Well, really, what he's dealing with was God came on the scene with his creation. God came on. God wasn't on the scene at the time. There was darkness on the face of the deep. It says he's and. The creation, God, when God began his creation, God's word began to be spoken. And God's word is light. And but even from that standpoint, when we look at in the scriptures, when it's talking about light, there's sometimes that in the Bible, talking about light has to do with physical light in the earth. But many times it's talking about the difference between spiritual light and spiritual darkness. And so we have to understand what it's talking about, what it means in its context. And we were looking at things about what God's word said, because the Bible we had read, you know, over a number of times from 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, it says where John said, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so the term used there is not talking about physical light. And it's talking about God is light, and the fact of if you go through the scriptures, talking about light and darkness refers to things of God's kingdom, and one of the things is dealing with the areas of hatred, murder, and all that kind of stuff. That's considered works. The Bible calls their works of darkness. And so, in other words, it's dealing with those are don't have to do with physical light and physical darkness. But these terms, so how they're being used, and if we understand how the terms are being used, then we know what's being said or what's being talked about. We also read last week in 1 John, the second chapter, in verses 8 and 9, says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passed away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. So then again, see, we're not talking about physical light here in these things. He's talking about the light. In other words, there's spiritual light and spiritual darkness. God fellowships with people in spiritual light, and he does not fellowship with ones in spiritual darkness. God, you know, God couldn't come on in the realm of the spirit. If God came, there would surely be light. There wouldn't be darkness spiritually. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week when we read through over in Romans, and I want to read a couple of those scriptures again, because we're going to go in to see some things because of what a revelation really from a scriptural standpoint that I think was probably more evident in man probably years past in the Old Covenant more than they are today, of a revelation that was stated here. And in Romans, the first chapter, I'm just starting verse 18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. In other words, it really here's talking about people in darkness. People who suppress truth, which is truth is light, and they suppress truth, so if light's suppressed, you suppress light, what do you have? Darkness. So the darkness, unrighteousness, would be darkness. He said, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. That word manifest there could also be made, the word evident, so God is evident. To them, or he says in them, or to them, or So, or among them, it could also be translated. So, God is evident among them, for God has shown it to them. Now, let's see. This is talking about people, about suppressing truth. God has revealed things to them. Well, how did he reveal it to them? And it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which he made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, that word Godhead could also be translated, and I do like it better translated as deity, because it's the word for deity. They say Godhead here, but Godhead, that's a term that most people wouldn't have a clue what is even. But in other words, his Godhead is really dealing with the deity, his deity. God is deity. He's God. Now we found this out, that the creation, he said, since the creation of the world, his God's invisible attributes. Now we have an invisible God, don't we? You can't see him physically. But it says that these attributes of God are clearly seen, and how are they? Being understood by the things which he made, or his creation. So they're understood that he made. Even it says that you can understand things about his eternal power and his deity are seen in the creation. So there's things about God and his attributes and what he is can be seen by things that God created. And we talked last week about the fact that if we, we take God and we, in looking at God, there are things about God that can be seen or understood because Jesus constantly used parables about things in the natural that God created and how he made things. He talked about seed farming, all these different things in nature. He would talk about things. Do you ever go over and read, like say, Solomon? And what's Solomon's wisdom? You'll go over and read in the Proverbs. Solomon talks about stuff in the earth to turn around and to let people know about how things work with God. So God's wisdom. So there's a wisdom because of things in the earth. We can see certain things. Now, one thing is to do is to make sure that we do is like I use the, like sometimes people do things and they use them wrong is one of the things I talked about last week. Use an example. People talk about God being light. He's like the sun and we're like the moon. We reflect his light, but scripturally that's not accurate. You and I were born again. We've been made the light of God. Jesus said we're the light of the world. He didn't say you're the reflection of God's light to the world. He didn't say that. So we need to be careful. You can turn around and use things wrong, but there are things about God. And you really, I find them interesting because, and we use things as symbolism. In the Bible, darkness, in Satan's kingdom, darkness, we deal with the areas that symbolize his kingdom would be sin, evil, hate, murder, lying, jealousy, gossip, division, self-will, all that kind of stuff that is symbolized in the Word of God as things of darkness that symbolize Satan's kingdom. This is what his kingdom is made. These are things that in his kingdom. But dealing in the areas of creation, it's really interesting. Things I'm going to talk about today here, I mean, I didn't come up with these things or ideas. These were Cooper Beatty, who was one of the instructors that we had at Rhema, who he talked about these things and finding it very interesting because when we deal with the areas of light and we go over, God created natural light or God created our sun. And the sun that we have puts off light, the light that's off of that sun. And that sunlight is made up of different spectrums of light within that light. I mean, it's broken down. It's broken down into where we have different colors and stuff from it. There's also rays of light that are invisible and all these things are in the spectrum of light. And God created this thing. And you know, sometimes if people think about, and even with creation, we look at creation as very simplistic. And I think that's the difference between today. If you go back and read the Old Testament, they marveled at God's creation. Christians don't marvel at creation today hardly at all. I mean, they hardly think a thing about it. They marveled. I mean, you go back over and think the things that David said, different ones that were spoken, inspired by God, the prophets said, concerning God's creation and different things. Go back and look at the Psalms. David spoke by you know, he spoke by the spirit of prophecy, and his psalms, they were by the spirit of prophecy. And the things that he talked about, there's things that he made mention in his. You go back, like I said, with Solomon and the things that he used, the creation of God to explain things, you know, and stuff. And so, all through it, how God made things. I mean, there's comparisons between the relationship with God, with a man and a woman. And God created the man and took the woman out of man and did this whole thing. But it was all comes into illustrations. We can see things in it about God and how God works. So it's one thing in the areas of light. If you go over in the Old Testament, colors represented things. When the tabernacle was made, God had made the tabernacle. Things were made of certain colors, and they were made of those colors to represent certain things. And it's amazing because we act like it wasn't, you know, who did they say that came up with the spectrum of light, made the prism and... I forget who it was, but I remember they always can't remember who it was. They always equate him to doing it, and he made a thing, and how he found out he had light shine through a prism of glass, and oh, he saw the spectrum. They must have known something. And just one thing about it, we do. This is a fact today. There's things about knowledge that they had centuries ago that has been lost, and now has been, people start figuring it out today, and they think they came up with something new. But men knew it before. There's certain things about, Billy, I mean, we have architecture. I mean, just think about this short periods of time in Europe. Architecture and things that were built in Europe, and they can't repair it today. They don't know how they made it, and they don't have people who could duplicate it. What do we do to do this? We don't know how. I mean, think about this. The detonators and the things and stuff that they made with the first atomic bombs and that kind of stuff, and later on with the hydrogen bomb and that stuff, our technicians today don't know how to repair that stuff or fix it or how they did that. They don't know. I was reading an article about that. They're sitting with all this stuff, and these guys can't figure out, how they did this. So what happens, lots of times things got lost because the light, the colors of light, and God put these things in, and these colors for a purpose, because they represented things. God had them represent things in the tabernacle. But in Israel, the color red, was a color that represented sacrifice, and was used from the standpoint of sacrifice. You remember when the children of Israel were going to go in the promised land, and they went down there and they got up to Jericho, and remember the three spies went in, and they found the harlot, can't remember her name, anyhow, in there, and she hid them, and anyhow, they said that their promise to her was, because she was good to them, that they would spare her and her family. They told her that she was supposed to put a crimson or a red cord around her window, and that was the red cord was a representation of sacrifice, or in other words, of protection, and they were going to be protected. They didn't say, hey, just hang a flag out there, a white flag or something. You know, they used things of color. They represented things, and one of the things was the red. Also, orange was used, a color that they used, which represented, orange represented love or compassion. They used the color yellow was a representation of glory. The green was life. Blue, the color blue was used to represent heaven or heavenly character. They would do that. Indigo was loyalty or faithfulness, and purple was used, was a royal color. That was a color of royalty. Isn't it amazing? They use those colors, and they use those colors to represent things, and those are the spectrum of light. Somebody knew something. Somebody had some kind of... Somebody knew something. So when they say that this stuff was found out, I don't... You go back and you begin to look. But just think about it. God created light, and then gave man wisdom, and those represented things that he did. So when we look at what we call light, I mean, we just think about light as being just regular light. But if light didn't have its colors, we wouldn't see in color. And it's a purpose. I mean, think about, we look at sometimes of complexity. You know, we talk about light in its invisible rays, like X-rays and infrared and all this rays. So, God's light. But understand this, God is light, but we have invisible light. And we have an invisible God. There's God. There's light rays that we can't see. But yet that God is light, yet Here we also, he makes light particles that are invisible. So we have invisible, he's light, God's light, but yet we can't see him physically. Yet, but through that same spectrums of light that they create, there's things that we can see in that spectrum that represent him. So it's quite amazing. I mean, God, you know, because I remember thinking a long time ago about, you know, why did he make things so intricate? Why did he do it in, like he did it? You know, because it's like, did he just do it to complicate things? And you know, things represented stuff. I'm sure there's a lot more to things than finally we really realize. But the visible light that we have, so in this term light is used all the time. And so it's used in the Bible. And so the light in itself, in its significance, so we have the visible light rays, so that they reflect a visible light rays. They reflect, you know, sometimes like off of dust and moisture and things like that that we see that are in the atmosphere. You know, there's things you'd never notice if light didn't reflect off of. You don't notice. You know, you sit here, and Wanda does this all the time, sure. Sit here, and the light will shine in here in the evening sometime, and it shines through like you're sitting here, and you don't see any dust particles or anything. You don't see, like you're sitting here now. But those lights shine, you know, all of a sudden those dust particles at you. Oh my God, look at this! Honey, they've been there the whole time. It's always been there. We just see them when they lay on stuff, and you go, but the light shines through. But so, light reflects on things and makes things visible. And so, really, we could, the idea is, one of the things of it is, you know, somebody along the line must have gotten, like using these things about light. Really, God is light. And he, through his son is like one of those particles. Jesus came to the earth and became a man so people could see this invisible God. It's just the way of light particles. And so the light of God that couldn't be seen was made seen through Jesus Christ. And we saw the light of God. And what couldn't be seen about this God in the light could now be seen with this Jesus that was sent. And so, you know, God, you know, the intricacies of, you know, it's just like light rays and that stuff, and these invisible rays, they do produce things, though, that can be felt, like heat. Light can produces heat and different things like that. It's so, even though it's invisible, there's manifestations of things. They used to use the representation of like heat from light as a representation of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit, you know, he's called the Comforter, you know, and the qualities of light that are felt, and those qualities of light are like the Holy Spirit, and he's called, you know, the Bible calls him the Comforter and things, and so the idea of the warmth and things and stuff of light, they used as a representation of the Holy Spirit, and so things of all that, you know, God did out of this thing of light. Because it's used so often in scriptures, in its references to God. So, you know, really, light is the source of all energy in the earth. Physical light is the source of all energy. There is no energy within the earth outside of what light itself actually, light produces. It's all, you know, I mean, it's hard for us, you know, even like you put the oil in the ground, all that oil in the ground was because of things that were produced in the light. Eventually got down in the ground, but it was all produced, and it was made. So it's quite phenomenal. So, but God is the source, and we need to understand this. In the realm of the Spirit, God is the source of all spiritual power. He's light, just like natural light, the source of power in our earth, or in the creation as we know it. In God is the source of all power. Now, there are harmful rays. And we look at God's creation. There are harmful rays of light. You know, you get over in the cosmic rays standpoint and stuff. You know, they can be very detrimental to human health. I mean, and even the life here on the earth, all life. And it's amazing. I mean, you think about God and creation. God created this earth, and the atmosphere around it was created that it reflects and absorbs the cosmic rays so they don't hit the earth's surface, so we're not affected by them. Now, he made that same thing. But you ever think about from the standpoint, you go over on the spiritual side of it. God sent Jesus. God, you know, the cosmic rays could very much be a representation of the judgment of God, of the earth. And through Jesus Christ, man don't face the judgment. He's the one who shields, is the shield to humanity from the judgment of God. And so there's so much of things of likeness when you look at the way God created, made things, that we can see in illustrations of things about God that work, that tell us things about the way, how He works, what Jesus Christ was. So, they're dealing with the judgment of God. That's the whole thing. Christ was sent. Christ was sent so man wouldn't face the wrath of God. And so God's creation shows us things about God. There's the life-giving rays of sunlight, or what produces makes our whole food chain, produces oxygen in everything we breathe. I mean, it's just like that God does. And really, we look at God, and the Bible talks about God is light, God is life, is the whole thing of it is. God is eternal life. And without God, you know, man, there's no way that man is going to spend eternity with God. God is the light source, He's the light source in the realm of the Spirit. And there is no life in the Spirit realm except through God. That's the only way that there is. There is none. You know, we have, is one of the things that we see is when, in illustrations that God gave Himself when Moses went up on the mountain, God gave the illustration Himself. God wanted to show, is going to show Himself to Moses. Moses asked God, said, "Reveal, we want to see Your glory." And God said, what He had to do, He's going to put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and He said, "I'll put My hand over you, I'll shadow you, and then you can see My back parts as I pass by." In other words, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the rock. In fact, the rock was used to, the water or the life, which water represented life, was ran out of the rock when Moses smote the rock, water came out. Jesus was, in other words, God put Moses in the rock as a representation of Christ so man could have the glory of God revealed to them. And I mean, God did that on the mountain. God used things of His creation to illustrate to man things about His attributes, His character, what He's like. And He did it through that. And really, the New Testament tells us that Moses was the rock. That Moses struck the rock. That was Jesus Christ was the rock. It says it in the New Testament. That's what the representation was. And on the mountain was the same thing. He hid Moses in Christ Jesus. And now man can see the glory of God. But man couldn't see the glory of God. But all that was representation of what was to come, of all those things, of the attributes of God. And see, men today, it's sort of like the thing, they get so intently in their study of what things are in our earth and in the creation and out beyond, they never stop to say what it's for. They just want to find out, you know, what's it represent? Is it just for this time period we're in? Is God talking to us through His creation? Yeah, He is. He talks to us through His creation. He reveals things about Himself through His creation. I mean, just think about the human body and made the way that it is. We turn around and Paul takes the human body to tell us how the body of Christ works. As we were, he uses humans to tell us how God has set things up to work for the giftings of people and stuff in God's plan and purpose. And all those things, you know, that God created things for a purpose and the way that He did to reveal these things to us. So we can... we can understand more about Him. In Psalms 84, and in verse 11, excuse me, Psalms 84 and verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun," that's S-U-N, "and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." It says, "No good thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly." So God is the sun, and God the S-O-N, He's the shield. Just like for light, God, you know, when we look at us, I say about the earth and the cosmic rays that would kill us and destroy the earth, really is a picture of the fact. And here we have it mentioned in scriptures that God is the sun to us, but yet He's the same God as the shield to us, and He is through His Son Jesus Christ. And so, And looking just from the standpoint, I mean, we have the value of light in 1 John, the 5th chapter, in verse 12. It says, "He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." See, if God is light, and we need to understand this, God is light. Just like light is what maintains life in this earth. There is no life in this earth The sun stops shining, everything quits. It all shuts down. I think about, what is it, like 8.5 minutes or something like that, or something like that. The light turns off, and then things will start to decline quickly. So, it's quite interesting. So, but we see here, so the sun, he has life. He who has the Son has life. In other words, you have this life. You got this life, this God life, and you got this. Says this, whoever doesn't have this life is why? Because you got the light of God. Light is the source of life, and Jesus is the source of our life. And light, understand this, light is the source of all power. So Jesus is the source of all power to us. If he's the life and he's light to us, that's what he is. We need to understand that our life and the power of God to us is through Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus. You know, Jesus said about the use of his name. He talked about the use of his name and that stuff, the things. We have over, the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost that operate through the name of Jesus Christ. You have all these things, any things of power you will find that operate through the church through Jesus Christ. It's because of Jesus. And Jesus, he's the light source to us. He's God's light source to us. He's also what protects us from the judgment of God. But he's also the source of power. And electricity in itself is a type of light energy. Electricity is a type of light energy. When I was in the service, I was in electronics, so they gave us all this theory. You know, you had all these theory classes on electricity. And whether you know it or not, a lot of things about electricity are still theory. They know that electrical current does certain things and does numbers of things. And they make objects. It's just like they make, you get out here and they have, you go in and you got this little chip, and that little chip is today millions and millions and millions and millions of little, no more than little like transistors running in there. That's what they are. They just, these little jobs conduct electricity and do things. And now they know what it does, but lots of that they don't know why it does it. They just know that it has certain properties, and if they do certain things, they can do them. But they don't really understand exactly. When we were sitting these theory classes, they told us, because people would always ask, well, why is this? And they'd say, I don't know. No, they just tell you, they say, we just found there's certain laws and things that wrote, but why it doesn't? It's like with gravity. They don't understand why. Nobody knows exactly why gravity exists. They don't know. I can tell you, I know it from the scripture. I know why. I know it's God. It says he holds everything together. See, if you go over and you look at scriptures, will tell you loads of things of why things. That's God forces, just like gravity. Man, you get rid of gravity, we're in all huge trouble. If you realize, we don't realize how much it affects everything. Gravity affects. Gee. But here is an example of light energy. Now, electric is a type of light energy. And electricity, just the same way, it's a great blessing to us. You mess around with it the wrong way, it could bring judgment upon you. That you didn't want. It's like that, but it can be very, very deadly. But yet again, electricity, like we use it to produce light, and one of the things, like take physical light and physical darkness. Isn't it amazing the difference between physical light and physical darkness? Do you know most people die of sickness and disease and stuff die at nighttime? More deaths take place at nighttime in hospitals than daytime. Did you ever know that? We could see those principles from the natural. What will they do in an area? They'll go to an area that's bad crime and they put a lot of lights in those areas. They don't have as much crime. Light and darkness are good examples of the two kingdoms. In the natural, people won't do as many bad things with the lights on as they will with the lights out. I mean, just think of the scriptures. People say people who carouse at night. The two kingdoms. Light really represents it. Isn't it amazing? Why? Satan's kingdom. Satan always wants to operate in the hidden. God never operates in the hidden. People act like God is, tries to hide himself. People, he doesn't. Satan's the hidden one. He's always the one that's trying to do things, but do it in a hidden way. And that's the way you watch his followers. That's the way they do. You know, in the day when they should be working, they're not, and they're out partying at night. They're out all doing their things at nighttime. They do their stuff around where they can't be seen because, you know. The Bible talks about the works of Satan and does in darkness, but yet it tells us our works, and we're supposed to do works that men can see our good works. That's what the Bible says, that men can see your good works and glorify God. You see how the God, it's all in God's creation. And if man looks around, I mean, we can see it in his creation and look at it and see how, hey, this stuff, it coincides with each other. It's the way it is. It's how things work. And so, but natural light does. It brings things into the open where everybody can see it. In John 14 and verse 21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And he says, now listen to what he says, and I will love him and what? Manifest myself to him. Now that word manifest there, it means to literally it is to cause to shine. Thus, it would appear. So something appears. It shines so it can appear. And it means to come to view. It means to exhibit, to make visible, to present oneself to the sight of another, or to be conspicuous. In other words, you can be sick. So God says what? God tells us, is tells the believer this. Concerning walking in love is walking in light. Obeying the love commandment is being in the light. And if you do this, you walk in this light, what does God do? He manifests himself. In other words, light will manifest God. This is really an important thing that Christians need to understand. People want to see God manifest himself. But there's only one way that he can do it. People must walk in the light of what the Word says. They have to. If I do that, I am guaranteed that God will manifest himself to me. Now that doesn't mean the Father's going to show up and appear and sit on a throne and do all that stuff. But his character and his attributes are going to show up. The things that he does to reveal to men, his blessing and stuff, they become evident to people and they show up. This is why with people, one of the things that I've always tried to get people to understand from the faith standpoint, people got misguided on lots of things about faith. There's one thing that I learned about faith from Kenneth Hagin was the fact that his life had a lot to do with why what happened around him. It's the way he lived, what he did. Not just what he confessed and said. Because people got over and think, if I confess or say this or I do that or I believe that, this is going to happen. No, you have to have your conduct of life. He talks about the commandments. Well, commandments have to do the things that you do. Commandments are what I do. And he says here, he said, if you love me, and he who loves me will be loved of me. In other words, it's I love God. Now, if you follow out the teaching on loving God, is one of the things, loving your brother. I love God by loving my brother and walking in love with my brothers and sisters, you know, in Christ, by walking in love with them. By walking in love. He said, God said, you do that. In other words, doing that, you love me, I love you, so I show myself to you. I don't stay hidden. And God, when I found out that if you walk in the light of the Word, God manifests himself. So really, the biggie is to do what the Bible says. I'm not minimizing confession or believing, you have to do that. That's how if you don't do that, you ain't gonna walk in love. Because man, I tell you what, there's a lot of things that'll not make you want to walk in love. That's one of the things that we have to watch today about, because this is what's one of the things that Paul wrote about men in the last days. It was going to be, he said they were going to be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God and things, is because what happens is you start seeing all the things that are going on in the world, all this bad stuff. If that becomes your focus and view, you're going to have a hard time walking in love. You're going to end up hating people. You're going to become a self-lover. I'm going to take care of me and I'm just looking after me all the time. And that's what we have today, because people look out there and see all these things. And that's why it's walking in light of the light of the Word of God and not walking in the light of what all that junk's going on out there. You walk in love and God manifests himself to us. God reveals himself so you can see his attributes, his qualities manifest here in this life. That you know that there's a God and you know he'll show himself and do his good stuff. So if we do what God's Word says, Jesus, and how does God manifest himself to us? Through Jesus Christ. It says Jesus will appear or come to view, reveal and exhibit himself. That's what he owes. Look, you take the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They're to demonstrate the glory of God that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in my name, he said, you'll cast out devils. You know, you speak a new tongue. People get born again. The new birth is a manifestation of the life of God through Jesus Christ that men can see that people are changed. God did something to them. See, that's why I don't believe in getting born again, not having a changed life. I don't believe in that. I don't believe any of that ever happened. At least I can't identify with it because it never happened to me. But see, the qualities of the life of God through Jesus Christ begin to manifest and people begin to see Him. That's the healing power of God working. Those are all the things that are manifestations of God in the earth. That's why Jesus, He went around healing, doing all, you know, healing all the oppressed of the devil, says because God was with him. Healing was a manifestation of God. People knew that God was with him. When the Pharisees would say things to the people like, well, that he's not of God, they would say, well, how can he do all those miracles if God ain't with him? How can all that happen? And see, those things are manifestations of God. But you have them by walking in the light of the Word of God. We have to do that. So the Word of God is the light switch to turn the light of God's power really on and off. It says, when we follow the Word, the ministry of Jesus will appear. If you follow the Word. And that's why Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this back years ago. Kenneth Hagin was praying and asked why they didn't see as much manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Why they didn't see as many manifestations. What was going on? And Jesus talked to him about two things. He said about what you're teaching and preaching. He said, you teach, you know, I forget what he said, what percentage of the Word and what percentage of your own ideas and so other people say. But he said, the closer that you walk to my Word, the more manifestations you'll see. So that's the whole thing, is getting over to manifestations. That's why when I teach and preach and using examples, here's one of the things. Many people are always using somebody else's example. Is people need to hear the example. If I walk close to the Word, then I should have examples in my life that I can tell people about that God did because I walk close to Him. Because that's anybody, the closer you walk to the Word. And here's one thing to your faith. You should expect the closer you walk to the Word. Many people don't. Many people think that, you know, God will manifest through, you know, Ken Copeland, or God will manifest through this minister, or He'll do it through that guy or this woman, or they don't, through them. No, the Word's the same for anybody. Some guy don't walk close to the Word because he has a certain ministry gift, then he gets God manifest Himself more. God manifests the same to all through the Word. We should have expectations. And that's one of the things that I learned through Kenneth Hagin, and I started as a young Christian. I'll tell you what, if I walked close to the Word as a young Christian and God wouldn't have manifest, I probably wouldn't be walking with God today. I'd have quit. I'd go jump. Because if it's just for somebody else, then why should I bother? Why should I bother with this? I expected Him to do what His Word said He would do, that He'd start to manifest Himself. And He constantly did. He constantly manifested Himself. It's one of the things that is a hard thing. I've just had a testimony from a person who broke bones in her hand anyhow, and believing God was going to be, would heal it. Now, you know, see, and so, you know, people got on their case, and got on the person's case, and you better have that cast, and you better have, well, they did it first. And they got over on a thing, and said, you know, I'm just going to believe God for healing, and they took the cast off. I'm going to believe God for the healing. And they're doing good. But you know what? You talk about Christians and everybody give them a hard time. Faith, so-called faith people. And you know, the person got contact with me about it and asked me some questions about it. I said, well, number one, I said, you have to understand. I said, I don't care if you go on one of the Spirit-filled people or who would say they believe in healing. I don't care if this guy's on TV and he preaches healing and all this kind of stuff and the goodness of God. They'll run you down because I said, I don't really know a lot of people that really understand faith. And they don't know how to, you know, when I started off, we used to cheer each other if somebody took a step of faith into something. And they don't today. This person took a step of faith. There's one thing that I learned, and really helped me years back. Well, I was in Bible school, and Kenneth Wayne Hagin, who they call him Ken Jr., but actually he's not Kenneth Jr. because he don't have the same name as his dad. His dad was Kenneth Irwin. He's Kenneth Wayne Hagin. And anyhow, he made this statement. He said, if a person comes to me and tells me God called them to do something, he said, if it's something that I know in the scripture God would never have you do, he said, I would say something to them. But he said, if a person feels, he said, it's not my business to tell them that God didn't say. If God, he said, they have to know that. Not me. He said, they're going to need to know if God called them to do a certain thing or it's in their heart to believe for a certain thing. They're going to stand in a certain thing. They need to know that, you know. I've watched people already that I knew were, they like say, divine healing. They wanted to stand in divine healing, but I knew that they weren't in a place. I listened to them talking. I knew they weren't in it. I didn't tell them they couldn't do it, but I would try to let them see where their faith's really at. Say things to them that try to, so they can judge, because sometimes people want things. You know, wanting something ain't faith. Even knowing that God wants you to have it ain't faith. Just because you know for sure God wants you well, that don't mean you're going to get well. And just because you want what God has, that don't mean, you have to believe in your heart, you have to say it with your mouth, and then you got to act like it's true. You got to be able to do those three things. And if you can't do those three things, and I watch people that say, yes, I'm believing God for this healing, but I watch their actions, and their actions are way off, and I know this thing ain't coming. Because the three ain't lined up. The three aren't running together. The believing and the saying and the actions aren't together. They're not working together. So they're going to have to do something about that. They're going to have to find where they can make things work together so they can get something. Well, this individual, you know, is standing, and they're just getting a hard time for people, and people are telling them, you got to use wisdom. And I have never heard a Christian ever say that generally that didn't mean this. You need to have some unbelief. That's what exactly they're saying, whether they'll admit it or not. You got to use wisdom. I've had that said to me so many times. I'll tell you, I would not have near the testimonies that God did if I'd ever listened to people who said to me to have wisdom. This is one of the things is why I almost never say anything to people when I'm standing in faith in God, because most go into an opposition mode. Most people can't. But you know what? When I find a person and they can stand in a place above where I can, I just say, praise God, go after it. If you can go after it, go get it. If you can go there, go there. Glory to God. People don't do that today. What they'll do is I can't do it, so you can't either. I'm Mr. Unbelief, and you've got to be Mr. Unbelief just like me. I don't anybody do better than I am. Unbelief of God. But if somebody can believe, go beyond, you know, that we should say, well, praise God, you know. But it isn't like that today. To the day, there's opposition just all the time about it and that stuff. If somebody can go for it, go for it. And instead of people standing, and they're dealing with the areas, and I told the person, I said, what I tell people, if people get over and start to say a bunch of things, I just tell them, say, well, just hide and watch. Hide and watch, because you're scared anyhow. Because, it's sad to say, but most people today are operating under a spirit of fear. They're fear. The reason they don't stand is because they're afraid it ain't going to work. They won't tell you that, but that's exactly what's going on. And I know, I've lived through it. I've been there. We're afraid it's not going to work. If I don't have somebody, you know, I've come to this conclusion considering the areas of walking in faith with God, of wanting to see manifestations of God in the earth. Of, you know, I came to this conclusion. I decided a long time ago that I would rather be dead in my best attempts to believe and trust in God than live and not see them. I want to see God. And I'll tell you what, I've done things that I know people say, you're crazy, you're crazy. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I saw miracles. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how to see, I don't know how you get miracles than just, they just happen. They don't just happen. Miracles don't just happen. Somebody does something, causes a miracle to take place. And the greater miracles, and even in Scripture, have come when people were in situations that weren't good, that weren't. And you want the miracle to come. And, as people worry about things, of standing in faith, they're worried about what if it doesn't work? I don't care what, I don't even pay attention to that. What if it don't work anymore? I don't care what people think ahead. I'm going to make attempts to believe God. And you know, the years that I did that, it was only a couple years ago when the Lord spoke to me and told me about it. He said, you know why you've seen so many miracles and things and dramatic things happen and come so quickly. He said, you've done some pretty dramatic things. I've done some things that have been people wouldn't have normally done. And I saying I'm the only one that has done them because I know other people have done some really, really wild things. I mean, just like a testimony here a couple years back of they had Rhema, the guy that his heart, like it was only it was less than 10% of his heart was working. And the doctor put him on a transplant list, and he said he ain't going to have a heart transplant. He wouldn't be healed. The doctor removed him off. The doctor said, I ain't going to do it. And his heart, he had a little bit of improvement, like a couple percent. He went and told the doctor, he said, I'll do it better. And the doctor checked him out and said, you know, your heart's a little bit better. But he said, I'll believe you. He said that you're doing better if you come back and tell me you're mowing the yard or something like that. Now, I don't know if you know somebody's heart's running that badly. Now, I will guarantee you, you get 99% of healing preached. Guys that preach and say they believe healing stuff would have criticized him for what he did. He went home and mowed the yard. And he said, it'd like to kill me. But you know what? It didn't. And so what he started doing, started mowing his yard. And he went home and started mowing his yard. He started mowing his yard. After a few months, went to the doctor, and the doctor checked him, and he said, now this guy, he wasn't old. I forget how old he was. He might have been around late 40s, early 50s, somewhere there. Doctor checked him and said, you got a heart like a young man. He said, you have a brand new heart. Well, how did he have it? He didn't go out there and do it. He did something that was a little bit outrageous that people would say, that's not wisdom. That's not wise. Yeah, that's not wise in Christianity today because Christianity is full of the world. Now, faith in God. But you know what? Everyone will say, they'll talk about that miracle. They'll say, well, is that something? But they can never have it. They can never, you can't get it unless you do what he did. See, this is what I learned. I started looking at what Kenneth Hagin did, not what just he taught. What did he do? And that's what I had to learn. I had to learn about from the Word of God about acting on the Word, doing it. And I'm just going to tell you this. It's not always comfortable. But I'm going to tell you what. It'll produce miracles. It will produce miracles. It'll produce miracles. And this is what we want to do. We want to bring the light into manifestation. We want the power. And the light will produce power. Power cannot come until there's light. And when we walk in the light of the Word, now power will be available. And power is available to us. And so that's something that we, you know, just like in a light in a room. You know, the light switch is, brings light to the room. And you go in the room, you can't. You, if it's completely dark, you can't see anything. You turn that light on. That light begins to make things visible. And see, the visible power of God people never see because they never come to the light. You have to come to the light to see. You know, you could never, you know, if you walk in room, what do we naturally do? Or put a light switch in a room. We don't have a doorway here in a room and then put the light switch over on the other side. Now, I've been in places that have done stuff like that. And you think about, who was the idiot that wired this and ever thought 2 seconds? You know, they needed a flashlight to cross the room to go turn the lights on. You ever been around something like that? It's stupid. What do? We put a light switch where you can find it with your hand, go ahead, slide it up the wall to turn a light on when you can't see. Because why? You want to get that light on and get that light in the room so you can see what's in the room. You know, you don't want to be around beating your shins up and running anything, knocking your head on stuff, and you don't want to be doing that stuff. And you want to do it. So, but when it's dark in the room, if the light switch is not turned on. Now, if everything's dark in the room, now think about this. The power is to that switch. The power's there to the room to light up that room. The power's there. But the switch turns it on. And what turns it on is the same way with the Word of God. You walk in the light. If you walk in the light, that turns the power on. The power's there. See, many people are trying to like get the power of God. If God would just send it. If he would just, no. The power's there. you have to turn the switch on. It's just like with a house with the wiring. And I come in, I can switch the light on here. I can turn the light on. The power's there. I don't have to go out, get some power somewhere and bring it here and then turn the switch on and I'll have it. I don't have to do that. The power's already here to the house. And it's the same way with God's power. God's power, the light of God and the power of God are things that are together. They're not. We can't separate God from light and power. You can't separate His power and light. But we understand this. You have to be in the light to get the power working. So you turn the light on, you can begin to see what you need to do concerning power. And that's where, like, you know, I found myself when Kenneth Hagin would talk about acting on the word. I didn't have light to that. And God began to turn the light on to me about what it was to how to act on the word of God, what to do. And see, this is one thing is dealing in the areas of fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Understand, there are things about natural fears. You know, there's things that could make you naturally afraid. We're not talking about that. Like somebody's afraid of a spider or somebody's afraid of a snake or something like that. You know, there's certain things that fear will try to come on you to about which you don't want to have it. You don't want to have it. What I want to talk to you about is a fear in your heart. Don't let fear in your heart. Too many Christians, that's why they can't walk with God. They have allowed fear. The fears they have in the natural, they've let those fears get into their hearts. And now they can't operate in faith in areas. They're afraid. People are naturally afraid about what's going on outside. They let that fear get in them. And after a while, they'll find themselves, they're afraid of death. They won't act right in faith. They want to live, but they can't get themselves over to believe God to live because they're afraid they're going to die. And that fear is dominating them. I can't be afraid I'm going to die in my heart and at the same time believe to live in my heart. You can't do the two. They aren't going to work together. I can't have that two in my heart. I can't have doubt in my heart. My mind can run in some doubt. Doubt may come to your mind about things. I mean, I've had things. I mean, my mind, when I was running down the road after my heart attack, I mean, I'm running down the road. And I would say a very slow trot. But I was trying to run anyhow. And my body, I'm feeling pain. I have shortness of breath. And my mind is worse than all that because these thoughts are bombarding me and bombarding me. And my fight was to stay in my heart and listen, because in the inside of me, I had life and I had light. And I knew this. If I kept the light on in the inside and I kept the life running on the inside, power will show up. Power has to show up. Light produces power. Just like energy in the earth is produced through light, it's the same way. You know, in the earth, it's natural. The sun, you know, you go out here and plant a seed in the ground, and from the standpoint, the daytime and the light. I mean, I don't have to go out here and believe my grass to grow. That stuff will just keep growing, and I got to keep cutting it off. Why? Every time that light gets on it, what does it do to it? Every time that light hits, man, you're in trouble. It's going to be growing. Get that mower out. See, and this is where people, they're trying to bring something that's natural. And it's natural. The power and the light and life of God, they're just naturally run together. It's what just like He created the earth to naturally work. He created the earth. The electric was here. Man didn't create electric. They just finally found what was here. They found the stuff that's here. And that's with God. God's always been like that. God has always operated. These things that here that run naturally and He created. He created you. You don't have to think about breathing. It's a natural reflex. I mean, let somebody put their hand over your mouth, and what do you want to do? We just shut off the breath. And just, la, 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 you go. Isn't that right? I mean, it's that. And you can look at creation. See, God created things to run naturally. We shouldn't. We've complicated faith sometimes in our explanation of it. And complicated, and there's too much of giving people the idea that they're trying to get God to do something. When the plant, it's just, He said, you walk in the light, so now I'm walking in the light. I walk in love, and what happens? God manifests Himself. He didn't say, I have to believe God to try to manifest Himself so I can see Him, and I can. He said, no, you walk in love, and I'll manifest Myself to you. So what are you supposed to believe? He's going to manifest. I mean, that's the natural. If I suck in the air, I'm going to be breathing, and my body's going to keep moving. I'm going to stay alive. I mean, that's just the way, it's part of the natural things that God did about creation. Your heart has been designed by God. It sits there and runs, it pumps. It's just, I don't care. Heart pump, heart pump, heart pump. You know? So, but, and understand it. And we gotta get this into our ideas and thinking. So, you know, many times, like I say, people are saying, what people do is they say or they do wrong things. They're saying wrong things about God. But then they expect Jesus to come visible. People say, well, God doesn't always heal. Or God don't heal today. You let them get sick and they'll ask you for prayer. He just said God don't heal today like he did. See, people say, and well, they want God to manifest and God don't manifest. Then they'll say, see, he doesn't do that today. Why? They acted against light. The law of light, they operated against. The law of light of the Spirit of Christ in the realm of the Spirit, you operate against that and you will not have God manifest in that area. He won't manifest. That's the way it is. God manifests. You know, it's just like getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. I always had really good at getting people filled with the Holy Ghost is because I take people immediately to the light. Is the fact if you're not going to try to get God to give you the Holy Ghost. He's already given it. You got to receive it. That's it. It's here. He's just waiting for you to say, yeah, I'll take it. That's what he's waiting for. See why? You come to the light, it's an automatic to get filled with the Holy Ghost. You come to the light on the subject, and it's the easiest thing to get. But what do? They teach you, well, we're going to try to get God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do. That's not in light. The Holy Spirit's already given. He's here in the earth. He's just waiting to fill people that are born again. That's what he's just waiting for. How do we get it? We receive it. It's just like Jesus is not going to die for anybody's sin. What do we do? As many as receive him, to him gave the power to become a child of God. Okay? How do they get the power to get it to be a child of God? They came to the light of what the Word says, believing that Jesus, they had to receive him. So every time you get in line with what the Word says, you are in position for power. You can expect power. You can demand and command power. If I'm walking in the light, do I have to do something special than to cast out a devil? The power to cast out a devil? No, you won't need it. Why? He said, just use my name. In my name, you'll cast them out. So you get in line with the Word. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, whenever you lay hands on people, he said, my power's there to heal. He said, it's up to them whether they're going to receive it or not. But he says, my power's always there. He said, if you tell them, you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. They'll receive that. He said, they'll get healed. He said, tell people. See, you get in line with the light of the Word, the power of God is automatically available to you. So, people getting in line, we want to bring and break Jesus visible. It is by coming to the light, and that's coming to the light of the Word. And Jesus Christ will manifest God to us. He'll manifest God's power. Just like when he was in the earth, the God's power manifested through him, and it did because he walked in the light of the Word. So, you know, God showed up, and people could see that it was God. You know, he's out there healing people and doing things, and the Bible says, and they glorified the God of Israel. They must have seen something about God because they glorified God. They recognized it as being God, didn't they? And so that's today. Today, the same things that we want to do, and we want to walk in the light of it. So, when you think about these things as dealing in the areas of light and walking in the light, I mean, don't try to, you know, to dissect. I think you dissect too much and too split things up. And, you know, get over the things and looking at God. Looking naturally how God made things to run. I think to do things in the Spirit are even sometimes more simplistic than they are in the natural, in a way. You know, the things in the natural were created as types and shadows to reveal. You know, when God had the children of Israel make the tabernacle, he told them this is an image of what's already in heaven. This is a type and a shadow that's already there. The things that are here on the earth, those things that he had them, they're already in a perfected state in heaven. They're already there. So what we have here was a type to reveal to them what was up there. And so, the real, I think, if you get over in the areas, especially as a walking into a light, you should just be in expectation that God's power would work for you if you do what the Word says. That's all you have to do. You don't have to muster something up. You know, it's just like the guy with mowing the yard. The doctor said, well, if you came tell me you're mowing the yard, he said, I might, you know, think something happened. But you know what? Really, that doctor gave him a revelation, and he went home, and he started acting. See, up until that time, he had never really been acting. You know what he'd been doing? Just confessing, believing I'm healed, believing I heal. But you know what he'd been doing? He'd been acting like he couldn't do anything. When he began to walk in the light, and walk means to do, he started to do something. Now, his confession was good. You don't want to stop the confession. You want to start, keep saying the right thing. You don't want to say something dumb about it. He's saying the right things, and you know what? He starts to believe. It's just like, and I learned those things years ago when I had the heart attack. The first thing I said to Satan out of my mouth, you can't kill me. You have nothing in this. This isn't between me and you. This is between me and my God. Me and my daddy. You have no say in this. Best thing that I could have ever said. Most people will spend all their time wondering if the devil can kill them. Or wondering if this thing, whatever it is going to kill them. And I just said, Satan, you have no say in this thing. This is between me and my dad. That's it. Me and my father. This is between us. And I told the devil to distress, I said, you can't kill me. You're not going to kill me. You can't do that. Now, I didn't just go lay there on the ground and say, now to call the doctor. So you know what? I could have lived and done it that way, but I would have not seen the deliverance I got. I would have not seen that. I'd have went to the doctor, and he'd have went there, and he'd have shot me full of medication, fighting to keep me alive, tried to help keep me alive, maybe doing some things that almost kill me. Doing things, telling me all the medications I was going to have to take and all I was going to have to do. You're here in the hospital, you have to rest, you can't do this, can't do that. Now, I don't know one doctor, I don't see no doctor could believe God do what I did, but I don't know any doctor that would agree with me what I did. Like that, I don't know many Christians. I would have never told Wanda, said nothing to Wanda. Never. She wasn't at home and I was good. But I wouldn't have. Number one, I wouldn't want to put her in the place of, you know, doing that. But I just, you know what I mean? Go out here and do it. So acting in line with the Word of God really is acting in light. And the power of God and light are tied together. You can't have it. And just being in the light is walking in the light of the Word of God. That's all it is. Just whatever you see that the Word teaches or said is walk in the light of it. Believe it's true. You know, always start off, first of all, believe it's true. Don't try to make, sometimes people try to do things to convince themselves. You don't do that. You convince yourself. Actions outside of belief don't do a thing for you. They may discourage you because if you're not really believing, it ain't going to come to pass just like you do it. I always tell people this, not taking medication isn't faith. Faith comes first. I believe it's true. Now, once I believe it's true, then my next step is this. Start to say it's true. Start to say the right thing. Once you believe something's true, start to say it's true. And then your next step is this. Then you act like it's true. And then your actions come next. See, people are trying to do things out of sequence, and this is why a lot of people get all messed up. And I know a guy one time, he wouldn't go to doctors, and he died prematurely, and he died. And nice man, nice guy, I liked him. But he died prematurely, and he wouldn't go to a doctor, and I don't go to doctors, and he said, I don't believe in taking medicine and all that kind of stuff, I don't believe in that. But I found out over time why he didn't go to doctors. He was afraid of doctors. He had a fear of doctors, because he had been doctored a bunch when he was a kid, and went through a lot of things. And so he got a fear of doctors. And so what he did, he'd go to doctors. He used divine healing as an escape. See, you can't have that. That fear was there the whole time. It was the fear of doctors. So he wasn't not taking medication and those things because he had faith. So he didn't want to go. And I talked to him about it then because God revealed to me this thing about his fear. And then I saw some things and I realized it was fear. And I talked to him about it and I tried to explain to him. He wouldn't listen. And he didn't listen to about it. And about 3 or 4 years later, his situation came along and he died. And he died. Some people say, well, he is believing God. No, he wasn't. He wasn't believing God. I would have rather had him go to the doctor than die prematurely. I mean, stupid the way that it went. You know one thing of it is? I don't think he'd ever got over his fear until he had started going to the doctor. Then he could have got over that fear. Being afraid to go to them, You know, I've learned this. When I was a kid, I had a fear of heights. I think I got that fear from my dad. My dad got fear of heights I forget how old he was. But my dad was working, he's a farmer, on his farm. He was climbing up in a silo, on the outside of a silo. He was climbing up on the outside and slipped and almost fell. And after that, he always had a fear of heights. He let that fear grip him, that fear got in his heart. And as a kid, you know, and you really, what happens is you're born and raised around things. You have to watch because spirits begin to want to operate. They're operating, and you got to watch them. Those things want to get on you. Well, as a kid, I had got fear of heights. I mean, they were ludicrous. I mean, I would, you know, you get to be 10 feet off the ground, and I was in a panic. I mean, I'd climb a ladder. I mean, that was just terrifying things as a kid. And, you know, I don't know what happened or what made the thing, I guess, but I just, one day, all of a sudden just dawned on me, maybe it just by stubbornness, I don't know, stubbornness in the right, there's not, you know, people who complain about people being stubborn. One of the biggest problems we have today is people are too wishy-washy and don't stand for nothing. Stubbornness can be great if it's used in the right direction. If it's used right, a person who knows how to be stubborn on something can be very helpful on the right things. Now, it can be a problem to you in the wrong things, but we put a stubbornness just being a bad thing. No, it's not. It can be a great quality if you know how to use it. And God taught me how to use my stubbornness because I've used it enough in the wrong way. To use my stubbornness over in the areas of making a stand. And how to use that and get, pow! How to put my feet in the ground and say, I ain't moving, boy. And how to do that type of thing. But for some reason, I just thought, you know, my friends are doing things. They're out. We'd climb trees, building tree houses and doing stuff. And if I climb up in a tree, I'm terrified the whole time. I'm just terrified. I can't have no fun. I'm having no fun. And I just decided I'm tired of this. So I went by myself. I started crawling up on things. I'd crawl up on the roof of our shed, walk around on the roof of the shed. Boy, at first, I mean, that was a terrifying thing. I mean, the shed wasn't high. It jumped off and not got hurt. But I'll tell you what, I sure thought it killed me. But I started doing things. And when I get an opportunity to crawl up something, I'd go crawl up, so I'd be by myself because I didn't want anybody to see how afraid I was. But I thought, I'm getting over this. And I finally got to the point. I could go up and climb up on things. I can do it. Now, I didn't believe in God, spirit of fear. But I learned this. When I got saved, I started watching people trying to overcome fears. And they try to overcome fears by confession alone. No, you're going to have to go do what you said you're afraid of. What you're afraid of, like a person who's afraid to fly. You ain't ever going to get over the fear to fly until you get on the plane. You know, Mike Arendo's dad was a pilot in the Second World War, a bomber pilot. His dad owned planes. Like, he had a twin-engine plane. He flew as a kid with his dad all the time, and for some reason, something happened. After all, as he got older in life, he got a spirit of fear and was afraid to fly. And Mike had to deal with that. And one day, Mike never got over that fear. He made confessions about it, and it was the right thing to do. He started saying the right thing, getting himself, you know. One day, he had to go buy a ticket and get on a plane. And he started buying tickets and getting on planes, and he ain't afraid. His confession and his actions came into line, and the power of God was automatic. The power went to work and changed it. It's making those actions and learning to do that. Yes, your actions in line with what you're saying, and start putting the actions to it, and the power of God will begin to work. And I've watched people over the years who try to get over fears of things, but they won't go against that fear. I mean, in the natural, they'll even do that. Like, people have weird fears about crazy things. Like, a person, you know, I don't like spiders crawling around on me. But, I mean, if I see a spider, I don't go into a panic. But some people, I mean, they could see a spider out over there, and they'd just scared to death. There's a spider, you know, next door. And they're scared of it. You know, there's nothing natural about that. That's weird. But, you know, they even have programs today to take people and how they do is they get people over their fears. By start getting them around them, they start taking that person. You can go and take courses dealing with fears. Actually works. They get people to finally get around what they're afraid of and start doing what they're afraid of. And they bring the person to the point where they find out that there's no fear. I ain't going to die doing this. Fear, the basis of all fear is death. When a person sees that spider over there, they might not think that is dying. But I'll tell you what. If you put them down the basis, they wouldn't be surprised in their thoughts that if they got near that thing, it'd kill them. They're terrified. Why? It's all about death. It's death. And if you can't get over that, as I tell people, don't bother believing God for healing if you can't get over the fear of death. If you're afraid you're going to die, you can't believe to live. You got to get over that fear. Can't let fear dominate you. That's why we get into the light. Get in over to the light, and I'll carry the power of God, begin to work. And hallelujah. So, you know, just do that, and it'll be a blessing. God's light. Just walk in the light, and the power of God will work in your behalf. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you today as we looked into these things in your word. We thank you for the light and life that you bring on subject of things, Lord God, to help us to overcome. And especially, Lord God, fear. Lord God, the word says you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for the light of your scriptures revealing these things to us. Lord God, so we can see your glory. God, we want you manifested in our lives. Lord God, if you ain't manifested in your lives, we sure couldn't get you to manifest in anything else. And Lord God, our desire, Lord God, is that you manifest. And we thank you. As we walk in the light, you will show yourself, reveal yourself to us. Hallelujah. That your glory may be revealed in this earth. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.